produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the living room. It's the place where intimate conversations are life-changing. I'm your host, Juliette Davis, and it's my pleasure to be with you today. Hey, I want to jump right into today's topic because I want the time to be able to sufficiently at least scratch the surface of this topic because it is so important. Today, I want to talk to you about your potential. The late Dr. Miles Monroe said something so profound, and I will never forget it. He said, "The richest place in the world is the graveyard because it's the place where people have died with their dreams." Now, for today's topic, I want to modify that a little bit and say that it's the richest place because it's the place where people have died with their potential. And I don't want to be a candidate, nor do I want you to be a candidate for making a contribution to the graveyard. So that means that right now we've got to decide that we're going to begin to open our minds to the fact that we have untapped potential. That's right. I want you to begin thinking about potential in the form of a seed. Let's just say for purposes of this discussion, an apple seed. Now, an apple seed is so small, it could literally fit in the crevices of your hand. But inside that tiny seed is packed an apple grove. That's right. An ability to grow exponentially into an apple grove. And so while you and I might be looking at that little seed, that seed is full of potential. Oliver Wendell Holmes said it this way, "What lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us." Let me say that again. What lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. So that means that within each of us, there is greatness. And that greatness for today, I'm calling that greatness your untapped potential. So let's begin to unpack what it means to have potential. Potential is defined as a reservoir of things that you can do but have not done. It is all that you can be but you have not become. It's a latent or dormant power that you have not tapped or resourced yet. And so when you think about your potential, it is the unknown. It's not what you have done, because we know what that is. It's not what you're doing right now, because again, that's a known entity. But when we talk about untapped potential, we're talking about something that you don't even know lies underneath the surface. A good example of untapped potential is, for me, a caterpillar. Now, when you see a caterpillar, what do you see? A prickly, worm-like animal that has a lot of little feet that crawls on the ground. Nothing exciting about it. In fact, if I would be honest, I would say it looks a little creepy, for lack of a better word. But inside that caterpillar lies the potential to be a beautiful butterfly. And butterflies are such majestic animals. They are colorful. They seem to almost float on air. They make everything beautiful, even when they land on a crusty tree. They make that tree beautiful. They come in so many colors. Butterflies are beautiful in every way. But they start out with untapped potential, because no one really looks at a caterpillar and begins to think about the beauty of a butterfly. You and I may be like that caterpillar today. We may look a little different or seem as though we don't have the outward markings of being great. But I came to assure you today that you have untapped potential. So let's talk about this thing a little bit more. First of all, everybody has potential. Everybody has potential. If you're taking notes, write that down. Everybody has potential. I'm going to say it this way. God did that. Listen, Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, we are his workmanship and we are created for good works. And these good works are works that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, this passage tells us a few things. First of all, he calls us good. God calls us good. He is already placing a value stamp on us when he says that he calls us good. We are his workmanship and we were created to what? To do good works. Then I hear him say he's prepared these good works beforehand. So that means that there's within me the ability to carry out something that he's already laid out for me ahead of time. Then this verse tells us that we ought to walk in it. So that means that walking is a lifestyle. It's a forward movement. It's a continuous thing. And so that one verse is giving me insight on my untapped potential. You ought to read Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. It tells me that I was fearfully and wonderfully made, that while I was created in secret, he knew me. So everybody has untapped potential. Everybody. Second thing I'm going to tell you about this is that you have been chosen. First Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 says, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. So no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, you have been chosen. In fact, I want you to say that. Say that. I have been chosen. And not just chosen by anyone, but I've been chosen by God. This passage tells me that I'm royal, which means that I am royal because I am an heir to the king. I am his workmanship. I'm connected to royalty. Therefore, I am royal, and my assignment is to carry out the work of the kingdom. I'm peculiar, the scripture says. So that means a people for a special reservation. Oh, that thing blessed me. When I read that, I thought, that's who I am. I am a people for a special reservation. Now, I want you to think about this. When you make a reservation to your local restaurant, they are holding that place for you. And that place that they're holding for you, it is a place where there's purpose in that seating. They know that you're sitting there because there's already a plan to serve you food. So when you think about yourself as being peculiar, that means that you're not just different from everyone else, but there is a task, there is an assignment that is on your life. There is a reservation that has been made by God, and you are a part of that reservation. In fact, you are designed to fulfill that reservation. I love that. I am a special reservation. I am designed for a special reservation. That's what it means to be peculiar. So we are chosen. Second point. Third point is, when it comes to dealing with purpose and when it comes to dealing with potential, let me say this. Start with what you have. That's my third point. Start with what you have. Now that we know that everybody has potential, now that we know that you have been chosen, you're wondering, what do I do first? How do I get started? Start with what you have. And I want to dig a little deeper into this because it is so important that we recognize that within us lies the wherewithal to get started. I know that many of us read books on potential, and we've seen webcasts on potential, and we've seen workshops on potential. But what we often think about is, okay, I have to go to this place and get something. I have to go to this place and get something else. No, I want you to start with what you have. Because what you have is an indication of your potential. And if you start looking outside first, you're often going to find yourself in a place where you're grabbing at things that are not tied to your purpose. When God created you and I, His masterful craftsmanship included the fact that He knows the end from the beginning. He is omniscient. And because He's omniscient, He has packed your bag. Max Lucado, one of my favorite authors, says it this way. He says that God has packed our bag and we spend an eternity unpacking that bag. But when you unpack your bag, then you'll know where you're going. And as soon as I read that in his book, The Cure for the Common Life, he talks about how you go on a trip. And when you go on a trip, you pack everything that you think you may need based upon what? Where you're going. And so when you pack your bag and you're going to the beach, you're not going to put in a ski jacket and a pair of skis because you're going to the beach. So that means everything in your bag is tied to where you're going and what you're going to do when you get there. Oh, I hope you hear me today. That in your bag is everything that will tell you not only where you're going, but what you will do when you get there. So right now in your bag, you may have the ability to work with large groups of people. You may have the ability to calm a stressful situation just by way of your demeanor. Some of you have the ability to just create something out of nothing. You're very resourceful. Others of you are organizers. That's what you love to do. Those are all things that are in your bag, and I guarantee you, where you're going, you will need what's in your bag. I have been in the workforce now for a number of years, and I'm always amazed at how God has ordered my steps. When I look back on my career, I can see so vividly how the skill set that I learned at this place and the abilities that I learned at that place gave me what I needed to be able to be successful in the position that I'm currently in. I had no idea, not an inkling, that I would end up in this place. But guess what? God knew. And so he was packing my bag even as I was taking the journey, because he knew where I was going. Oh, I want you to take a moment and think about what's in your bag. And then ask the question, who needs these skills? Who has experience working with special needs populations? Who has the experience of adoption? Who has the experience of, working with communities that are migrating to the United States? Who has the experience of running a food pantry? All of those things may seem arbitrary and random, but I promise you, these are skills, these are experiences that are in your bag. So you're going to have to start with what you have. I remember how Moses was faced with a difficult situation. You recall, he had the Red Sea in front of him, and then he had Pharaoh's army racing behind him. And there he was with these thousands of people following him, and he was at an impasse. He was in a tight spot, and he looked up to heaven and said, God, what do I do? And the question came back to him was, what do you have in your hand? And for Moses, it was a rod. He didn't think it was anything of note. He had spent time as a shepherd, and so he understood the practical use of a rod, but he had no idea that God wanted to use this rod to part the Red Sea. But when he followed the instruction that he was given, he used what he had in his hand. And you know the story, the Red Sea parted. God performed a miracle. They crossed over on dry land, and the waters came and enclosed behind them and swept up Pharaoh's army into the sea. But what was the igniter? What was the trigger to that moment? It was what he had in his hand. You see, we have so much in our hands that we don't even realize. I often say this because I know it's true. Somebody can take the hand you've been dealt and win with it. That's right. Somebody can take the hand you've been dealt and win with it. I grew up in a household where we played the game of spades. And if you know anything about the game of spades, you know that when you're skillful, you can take those cards and make what we call a book, or win a round in such a way that the unskillful would never understand how that happened. You have the skills and the abilities to win, but you need to begin to take a closer look at what you have in your hand. You remember when the disciples were with Jesus and they were ministering to the thousands, and it was brought to Jesus's attention that the people were hungry. And Jesus asked the question, what do we already have? Is there anything that's already here that we can use? And you know the story, the lad, he had a lunch. His lunch included two fish and five barley loaves. And what happened? Jesus prayed over it. He broke it. He blessed it. And he distributed it to the disciples. And the disciples distributed that food to the thousands. The Bible says 5,000, not counting women and children. And when it was left over, there were 12 baskets of food left, one for every disciple. So significant was that event, because it showed how Jesus wants us to carry out his kingdom agenda here on earth, that we bless it and we carry out the distribution of it. That is what happens when you recognize what you already have. Listen, I would encourage you to look for opportunities, even to do assessments. There are free assessments that you can do online that will help you further identify with what you already have. What are your special gifts? What are your insights? What are your spiritual gifts? Do you have an ability, you know, to serve? And that's your passion. Do you have a heart of compassion? When you see someone hurting, it really registers with you. Do you have the ability to teach or administrate? These are all spiritual gifts. Once again, they're in your bag. You just have to unpack it so you will know where you're going. So important that you realize that you have to start with what you have. There is a passage of scripture that I love, and it's found in Jeremiah 29:11. And it says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future." Or one translation says, "an expected end." And so when you begin to think about that, he already has plans for you, and his plans are plans to prosper you, then that means that within you lies untapped potential that are tied to the plans that he has for you. So don't let anybody talk you out of what you feel an urging or an interest in. Don't let anybody tell you that, oh, it can't be done, because nobody comes back around and admits that they said it couldn't be done until they saw it was already done. I've heard millions of stories over the years about people who were told that something wasn't possible, but because they believed in themselves and because they believed in the potential that they had to move forward, then they were able to succeed. One other thing that I'll tell you, and this is really a bonus, is try to connect yourself to a mentor. A mentor is someone who can see your untapped potential, who can direct you in the path that you want to go in terms of discovering that potential and developing that potential. A mentor is someone who sees in you what you can't see in yourself. I have been the benefactor of some powerful mentors in my career and in my walk with God. And these were people who saw something in me, who believed in me, who encouraged me, who helped me to understand better what my untapped potential was all about. Please get to a place where you can identify someone who can be that mentor for you, because that person can unlock, can be used by God to unlock things in you that you don't even know you have. Listen, we need to reach the point where we stop sleeping on ourselves. That's right. Stop sleeping on yourself. Even if others are sleeping on you, don't you sleep on you. But make sure that you understand that where you are right now is not the fullness of what God has in store. Listen, Ephesians 3:20 says it this way. He says that he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. And I'm saying to you today that there is untapped potential that is greater than anything that you can ask and greater than anything that you can think. And I know that you think that this is something that, you know, is off limits or is out of your reach or it's beyond you. But I want to encourage you today, don't buy into the negative conversation that has been going around in your head. Shut those conversations down and begin now to redirect and refocus and renew your mind with the fact that you have untapped potential. And that untapped potential is the key to your experiencing that fullness that God promised every one of us. He said, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. One translation says, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Now, in order for you to have it to the full, in order for you to live out loud, in order for you to live your best life, you've got to begin to tap into your untapped potential. And when you do that, I promise you, life will become more fulfilling. Life will become more exciting. And guess what? Not only will you be blessed, but then you will be empowered to be a blessing. And to me, that's next level. It's not enough for me to be blessed, but when I can then begin to intentionally impact the lives of others so they can be blessed, that's when I know that I am truly doing the work of the master. And I say it often because it is true from my heart that I don't want to leave here with my work undone. So I said at the top of this broadcast, and I'll say it again at the end, you and I don't want to be candidates for making another contribution to the graveyard. So the only way that we can ensure that that doesn't happen is that we begin to focus and deliberately work on our untapped potential. Well, I hope this message has been a blessing to you. I have certainly enjoyed sharing it. Every time I share, I'm always blessed by the word. I hope that you are empowered and informed, because those are the two things that I always promise to deliver on the Living Room broadcast. So tune in next time for another empowering word. And remember this, the word of God has transformation power. May his word keep on changing your life forever.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Program is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Chat and Chuckle with Keita Keet. I will be your host this evening, Keita Keet. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. To all of my first-time listeners, thank you so much for joining us this evening. And look, if you ever want to give a shout-out, if you ever wanted to reach me just to say, hey, Keita, I really enjoy what you're doing, if you have a prayer request, or like I said, if you just want to give a shout-out, I can be reached via email, and that's at love to make makeyoulaugh at yahoo.com. I can also be reached via social media on Facebook as well as Instagram, and that is under Keta Keet, and that is KETTAKEET. All right. Listen, y'all, we're going to just jump right into tonight's show. And I will put out this disclaimer that tonight's show is a pretty heavy topic. We want to talk about freedom in healing. Freedom in healing. I hope that topic makes sense to you. And I'm going to explain what I mean by that. My sister and I was having a conversation, the other day, and we were just talking about relationships and freedom. And we were talking about it in the sense of that people actually benefit from others who are not healed. And I'm not sure if many of you all have heard this saying before, and many of you have, but this has become something very important, but also very relevant, as this is true, that people, specifically unhealed people, benefit from other people who are not healed. And we were talking about this in the sense of that people will actually keep you bound. people actually keep you bound in an unhealthy relationship because they too are unhealthy. And we were talking about when we understand and know the truth about a thing, it sets us free. Many of us are familiar with the scripture from John chapter 8, verse 31 through 32. And that reads, and this is from the Good News Translation, and reads, "So Jesus said to those who believed in him, 'If you obey my teaching, you are really my disciples.' Verse 32 says, 'You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" And one thing about the truth is that once we understand the truth, and once we understand that we really are free, we're free in the Lord, but we're also free from people who try to keep unrealistic expectations on us, who try to keep us bound in unhealthy relationships, who try to keep us bound by manipulation and control. Once we get an understanding of the truth and know that through Christ, we are already set free, but we are also free from people who try to keep us bound using those tactics. Amen. So I want to talk about being free and knowing that we have freedom in our healing. Amen. All right. I came across this blog, and it's from the and I'll let you know the website. The website is www.boundariesbooks.com. And I came across this great blog that's entitled "Why People with Unhealed Wounds Attract Unhealthy Relationships." So we definitely want to start here on why people who have areas in their life that that have not been totally healed, why we may attract unhealthy relationships. All right. And it goes on to say, "Unhealed relational wounds drive us to compulsive attempts to repair the damage. That is, without being aware of it, we seek out people we believe can fix what's wrong with us or help us find a piece of ourselves we feel is missing. We function emotionally like the starving man who looks in a dumpster and sees lunch instead of garbage. His perception is so driven by his need that he's willing to eat something that might make him sick. Though we may not be aware of it, something in us wants completeness. God has set eternity in the human heart. That's from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. And we long for him and the full life he promises. But if we remain unaware of the powerful forces at work within us, such as our family dynamic and how we responded to it, we can be blind to its influence and seek out the completeness we lack by making all the wrong choices. For example, consider the following scenarios. The overly nice person lacks assertiveness and the ability to confront, so he attracts controlling and aggressive people. The overly angry person can't allow herself to feel helpless or sad, so she finds empathic people who won't confront her moods. The rigid black and white person is not able to let go of control, so he seeks out spontaneous, creative people who won't try to control him. The over-responsible, guilt-ridden person lacks self-care, so she finds self-absorbed people who care for no one but themselves. Goes on to say, of course, the problem is that these kinds of responses do not reflect God's intentions for us, and they don't lead to healthy or fulfilling connections. These missing pieces are part of what is called the internalization process. We become who we are by incorporating experiences that we have with other people. On a developmental level, kids come into this life incomplete. In the process of healthy development, they receive safety and acceptance and develop assertiveness, self-control, and self-care that prepare them for life on their own. Once internalization is complete, we become functioning adults who are called to pursue wholeness, or in Jesus's words, what I'm saying is grow up. Your kingdom subjects, now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. It's found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. What Jesus means is that he wants us to be mature and complete, but we are not complete. We have missing pieces, soul holes we carry from childhood into adulthood. The path to completeness or wholeness is to find a relational context, such as a healthy church, small group, mentor, or therapist who can help us finish the emotional work that enables us to grow into the capacities we lack and become who we are meant to be. And I just want to stop right here and just kind of insert this here. And it talks about finding the path to completeness or wholeness is to find a relational context, such as a healthy church, small group, mentor, or therapist. I just want to shout this as loud as I possibly can, for the people in the back. Listen, it is all right to have Jesus and a therapist. Okay. I'm going to repeat that. It is more than all right to have Jesus and a therapist. I've heard of a well-known pastor. He said that that it's okay to have Jesus and a therapist. Jesus deals with the deliverance and the therapist deals with the damage. Glory to God. Goes on to say, this is especially important in romantic relationships where there is often a glitch in our emotional hardware. We feel strongly that the other person will complete us, but not in the way I'm describing, you know, according to the blog, according to the way the blog is describing. It is not about becoming more connected, intimate, assertive, or real. It is about being in the presence of someone else who has those attributes without having to take responsibility to learn them. "You complete me" is a great line from the movie Jerry Maguire, but it doesn't work in real relationships. You can't outsource health. You must learn it all and take it inside your skin. Complete people then attract other complete people. It's so funny that I read this. Complete people then attract other complete people. Last week when my sister and I was talking. We were talking about, being free. And I remember saying, you know, free people attract other free people. And what happens is that once a person becomes free and knowing who they are in Christ and knowing that they don't have to be bound by other people's control and manipulation and opinions of them, and being bound by these unhealthy relationships, what'll happen is, you'll your freedom will attract other free people, and then you will want to help other people to become free as well. Amen. So complete people attract other complete people. That is why most of us need to put less energy into romance and more into personal growth. It pays off later in romance. Understanding your missing pieces also pays off in other ways. Perhaps your concern isn't about a marriage or dating relationship. It may be that difficult relationship you need to address, that you need to address is with your parents, siblings, or a person from your childhood. Or it's about a work relationship. Whatever your interest, you will find great benefit in looking at the missing pieces to understand why things ended up like they did. The more information, the better for you. All right. So, and again, this blog is from www.boundariesbooks.com, blog entitled Why People with Unhealed Wounds Attract Unhealthy Relationships. All right. Now with that being said, I want to, go to this next article that I found. And this is this article I found is on psychologytoday.com. It's found at www.psychologytoday.com. And this article is entitled, it's 6 tips for ending a cycle of unhealthy relationships. And I'm not going to go through all 6 tips, but I think it's important for us to, that we know, we acknowledge why we as people, we attract unhealthy relationships when we have unhealed wounds ourselves, or when we have a void that has not been filled. So it's important to acknowledge that and understand why. But now it's also important to know how to end on these cycles of unhealthy relationships. Amen. Amen. So again, this article is entitled 6 Tips. And like I said, I'm not going to go with all 6 tips, but 6 tips for ending a cycle of unhealthy relationships. And it says, free yourself. Here we go again with that word free. Free yourself from a pattern of dysfunctional relationships. Amen. Amen. All right. And it goes on to say this: many people get out of one bad relationship only to find themselves in another dysfunctional, toxic, or unhealthy relationship. Even when we work hard to change ourselves and seek out different kinds of friends and lovers, it's hard to avoid the unconscious pull toward people who draw us into arguments, activate our emotional wounds, and recreate familiar but unhealthy relationship roles and behaviors. If you feel stuck in a cycle of unhealthy relationships, use these tips to help you end the pattern and start creating healthier, more fulfilling relationships. All right. The first tip, number one, says recognize dysfunctional, toxic, and harmful behavior. Ideally, we need to recognize unhealthy behaviors in ourselves and others before we're attached, committed, or in love. Yet often we miss the early warning signs and don't realize we're in a toxic relationship until after we've developed strong feelings or intertwined our lives with someone. And if you grew up in a dysfunctional family, you may not know what a healthy relationship looks like and feels like. You didn't have good role models. So it's no wonder that you're missing the red flags in your adult relationships. And some of these red flags they list is first one's physical abuse, pushing it, hitting, kicking, or otherwise hurting someone hurting you physically. Also emotional or mental abuse, which includes calling you derogatory names, yelling, blaming, or threatening you, or dismissing your feelings or telling you that you're crazy or confused or making things up. Dishonesty, lying, cheating, stealing, or engaging in other dishonest or illegal behavior, saying contradictory things or telling stories that don't add up. Controlling and jealousy, controlling where you go and who you see, what you wear, or your access to money, or even accusing you of cheating. Avoidance, unwilling to address problems, emotionally unavailable, or retreating physically or emotionally when things get uncomfortable. Lastly, codependency, Codependency is an unbalanced relationship in which one person overfunctions, meaning feels responsible for the other, takes care of him or her, and is extremely responsible and hardworking, while the other underfunctions and is emotionally immature and irresponsible. All right, the next tip be set free from unhealthy relationships or how to end the cycle of unhealthy relationships is healing from underlying trauma. Dysfunctional relationships stem from abandonment, rejection, shame, and other painful and traumatic experiences. Until your emotional wounds and unmet needs are resolved, you will continue to seek healing from partners who are unable to give you the love, acceptance, and emotional safety that you need and deserve. Many people find the assistance of a trauma-informed therapist is an essential component of healing. So again, we're talking about a therapist, but specifically a trauma-informed therapist. So again, just want to reiterate this. It is all right that as believers, that it is okay to have Jesus and a therapist. Amen. The next tip, it says to learn and practice new relationship skills. To change your relationship patterns, you also need to change your own behavior. This might include improving your communication skills, regulating your emotions, setting boundaries, and so forth. And remember, you know, setting boundaries includes telling people no. Amen. Okay, no is a complete sentence, especially if you end it in a punctuation mark. Okay. No, period. No exclamation point. Okay. It still means the same thing. All right. So we must remember that it's important to set those boundaries. Okay. Also, self-help books can be a good place to begin, as well as psychoeducational groups and therapy. There's that word again, therapy. All right. And this last tip, it says, treat yourself the way you want to be treated. When we treat ourselves poorly, criticizing others, ignoring our needs, invalidating our feelings, or not standing up for ourselves, we're telling others that it's okay to treat us this way. And I'm sorry, let me go back. When we treat ourselves poorly, criticizing ourselves, ignoring our needs, invalidating our feelings, or not standing up for ourselves, we're telling others that it's okay to treat us this way. If we want others to treat us well, we have to treat ourselves well, too. We have to value and accept ourselves, take good care of our bodies and emotions, trust ourselves, respect our opinions, and work toward our goals. When we do these things, others will follow. And it ends by saying, making significant changes takes a lot of effort. Realistically, you're not going to change long-standing patterns in a matter of weeks. So be gentle with yourself as you make small changes. They will eventually help you break the cycle. And I want to just kind of touch on that last tip about we have to value and accept ourselves. One thing that we must know that as believers, as children of God, that first and foremost, God has already found value in us. God has already accepted us. We found our value and our worth and our acceptance in God. Amen. One thing we just need to know and just get this in our spirit, in our mind, in our heart, in our soul. God loves us, period. Amen. God loves us, period. He literally loves us. We are already found worthy and valuable in Him. So if God has already found us worthy, God already loves us for us, then we have to understand, we must know for ourselves that we are valuable and that we have to find value and accept ourselves as well. Amen. the word of God says to the greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our mind, with all our soul. And the next commandment, the second commandment, is just as great, to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And a lot of times I found that many people can't really love their neighbor or love their friends, love their family, because they don't really love themselves. And so as I end tonight's show, talking about freedom and freedom in healing, for anyone who may be struggling or may be challenged in the area of actually loving themselves, I just want to let you know that you are worthy of love. Amen. God loves you. God already loves you for who you are. And if you're challenged in self-condemnation, if there's some areas in your life, that you struggle in, if you are unhealed in some areas, or if there's some unhealed wounds that you have, first and foremost, you must know that you are loved by God, and God desires and wants you healed. Amen. He wants you to prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Amen. So God wants you healed. He wants the very best for you. And he wants you to want the very best for yourself. Jesus said that he came to give us life, and give us life more abundantly. And in that abundant life, he wants us healed and made whole and set free. For who the Son sets free is free indeed. So I just want to encourage you and to tell you that I love you and that God loves you. And if you're challenged in that area of learning how to love yourself, please know that you are already loved by God. Amen. And you just have to accept his love, because you are worthy of love. Amen. Thank you all so much for joining in this evening. You all have a great night and an awesome weekend. Good night.